Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 343 of the podcast, unless you're joining live on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. If you want to catch the show live, subscribe on one or all of those platforms and turn on your notifications so you know when the show is live, like right now. Today is Thursday, December the 28th. I hope everybody had a fantastic holiday. I definitely did. This is normally the night of the week that we do picks and pours, but there's nothing to pick, so we're just having some pours, and I'm joined by my friend all the way from the other side of US 19, Matt the Mechanic. Matt, how you feeling? How's your Christmas?
My Christmas was good. Hey, Bill, have you ever heard of the Bahia Expedition?
Bahia?
I don't know how to say it. It's some Finnish word, but it's like this. It was in the late 1800s, an expedition to Antarctica. Listen to a podcast and they talk about how once they got down there, they made the decision to just get frozen in the ice, and for like 6 months they just lived in their ship, basically frozen in the ice. When I was listening to that, that is how I feel waiting on the UFC to start up again.
So wait, the ship was frozen in the ice?
Yeah, so this is the late 1800s, and it's a steam engine. So they could either, the winter's coming, and they weren't making the progress they wanted. So their plan was to go to Australia and hang out for the winter, but they just decided to save time, and they just stayed there in the ice when the winter came, and it just froze around them. There's awesome pictures on there of it. It's pretty neat.
You got to send some of those to me. But, did you see a documentary on this or something?
No, it's this neat podcast I found called The Explorers Podcast. And there's this guy, he's been doing it since 2016. He just explains different adventures and expeditions across, in the history.
You really have been desperate for content without the UFC, huh?
Yeah, it's getting rough.
So, well, can they get out if they wanted to? Like, if they turned on the steam engine?
No, they're frozen. They're actually just, the ice is moving, and there's a whole lot to it, but they just had to stay there. It's dark. They, it was dark for 40 days or 42 days. They're just 18 men in a ship. And luckily, there was only one American, and he was the doctor, and they got scurvy. You know how you get scurvy?
I'm not familiar with how you get it, no.
It's a lack of vitamin C.
Oh, because there's no sun.
There's no sun. So luckily the doctor was smart enough to figure out that you could get it, vitamin C, from penguin meat if you ate it raw. So he just forced his crew to eat raw penguin meat, and they all came back, and that's where I'm at. I haven't made it through the rest of the story, but I just think that's the way that you would feel locked in that boat for four months.
18 dudes for 4 months with no lights, eating raw penguin meat. I imagine you come out of that a changed person.
Yeah, it was a three-year operation.
This is the content you're gonna get this week, folks, because there's no MMA going on, really. I know there's some Ryzen fights at some point, but I don't have the time zone to keep up with Ryzen. So this is where we're at. Dudes frozen on a boat eating raw penguin meat. So if this isn't what you tuned in for, I apologize. We'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming soon.
Hey, Bill, when I was on the road, I did some bourbon hunting.
Yeah. I saw you found some good stuff. Tell us about it.
Well, so I was heading through southern Georgia, and I always like to stop at the random liquor stores. And this time, I actually took a different route to through a different town. I went to Albany, Georgia.
Okay.
And I stopped at the first place, and this place was not the nicest place.
Okay.
But they had a very nice selection of dusty bourbons. That's where I picked up a bottle of Eagle Rare, and I picked up a couple extra for some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to another one, and there was the man in there. I asked him for the 13th colony, and he says, "Oh no, man, this isn't the place for you to find that. Like, you need to go across town to this package store."
Mm.
So that's when I made it over the package store. You know, you had told me to look up for the 13th colony.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't find the double. Was it double smoked?
Double oaked.
Double oaked.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. I didn't want to tell you how hard it was to find, because I thought maybe you would just have like some beginner's luck, like just going in blind. But yeah, it's basically impossible to find.
Yeah, because that store, they had the, what is this, the southern wheated bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
But when I asked for the double oaked, she just kind of smirked and said that she had auctioned it off.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like if you go into a store here and ask for Blanton's or something, it's like they're almost never going to have it. But you didn't like the 13th colony, huh?
It's grown on me. I think the first time I tried it, I was sipping on some Eagle Rare, and then I switched to that. And then tried it again. This is the third time I've tried it. It's all right.
All right. So you're really going.
Like the Heaven Hill is much better.
Which Heaven Hill is that? The Bottle and Bond?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heaven Hill makes some. A lot of people sleep on the Heaven Hill Distillery. They make some awesome whiskey. Elijah Craig comes out of there. Rittenhouse Rye, excellent. They make a lot of great stuff. yeah. So, did you find anything else, or just
the one that I found the Eagle Rare in? They had Pappy, and then another one I was in. They had like a, is there a Pappy 15?
Mm-hmm.
So they had that one. It was priced at like $3,000, and you had to buy five bottles of random bullshit to even buy it, which I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. In order to get the opportunity to spend $3,000 on this bottle, you have to buy five of our store picks.
I mean, that gimmick makes sense, I think, for, I don't know, maybe Blanton's. You know, because a person that's looking for Blanton's, they're probably going to, you know, because these are the picks that they make, or like Jack Daniels on sale or something. So it's
mm-hmm.
at least useful. But I don't think anybody buying that Pappy wants anything to do with Jack Daniels.
Right. But here's how liquor stores kind of work. So some of them will do what are called store picks, which is basically they'll buy an entire barrel and they put their store label on it. And they want to move those as quick as possible because they pay a higher premium than just buying like a case of Jack Daniels. And they want to show the distillery that they can move the product. So it's important to them, if they do a store pick and they buy that entire barrel, it's important to them to sell all those bottles. Because then you develop a good rapport with the distillery and they'll send you better stuff. So liquor stores will try all kinds of ways to entice people to buy their store picks. Some of them will do it by actually picking really good whiskeys from really good distilleries and putting their label on it and getting a reputation for it. Others will do stupid shit like this and require you to buy their store picks or buy whatever they're pushing in order to have the chance to buy, you know, a higher price tag bottle. And it's weird. And then the big brand stores like Total Wine, for example, they're forced to push certain bottles. Like the employees will actually make commission or something. There's some kind of rewards program for the employees if they're able to sell certain bottles. So if you go in and you don't know anything about whiskey and you ask a Total Wine employee for a recommendation, they're always going to recommend the same things. They're going to tell you like, oh, this, have you had this 1792? It's fantastic. It's such a smooth bourbon. And they'll use like good, like selling words that people want to hear, like smooth and easy to drink. And oh, any bourbon lover will love this if you're giving it as a gift.
I didn't know what you're talking about. I think you're describing our medical industry we have these days.
Yeah. I mean, sales is sales, right? No matter what you're selling, there's always got to be a financial incentive, right? In order to move the product, whether it's drugs or alcohol or medical supplies or, you know, whatever.
There was another interesting liquor store. It was a much more, far more rural place, but it was this little place on the side of the highway. I stopped, I got out, I walked in, and I didn't see any liquor. It was just like a gas station without the gas station. And I go, oh, he goes, oh, can I help you? I go, oh, I thought this was a liquor store. He's like, oh, no, it's on the other side of the building.
Mm.
So I go and walk around the other side of the building, and I walk in, and the same guy is standing there.
I was just going to ask you, did the same guy go through like a trap door, and he's also
yeah,
the
he
clerk?
Did. And he said, welcome to my liquor store. And his prices were ridiculous. That didn't seem like a legal operation. He only had like one of each kind of alcohol. And he's like, if you come back on Christmas, I'll give you a discount. I like those kind of stops though, because like you get a good chuckle, and you know, I only missed 5 minutes.
That's awesome.
But this one, this trip, I learned we have better luck. The more terrifying the place looks to walk into,
mm-hmm.
better luck of finding some good bourbon.
Oh, sure. Because in a shitty area, people aren't buying good stuff. They're in there buying like, you know, the cheapest stuff to get hammered. So, you know, even if they bought those cases of Eagle Rare 5 years ago and they're just sitting on the shelf collecting dust, you know, it's still Eagle Rare. But that story reminds me of the National Lampoon's Vacation. Are you familiar with this movie, Chevy Chase?
Just the original one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the one I'm least familiar with.
So there's a scene where he drives his car off the road, and he has to walk through the desert to find a mechanic that'll tow his car to fix it. And the guy, he asks the guy, like, oh, how much for the repairs? And he says, everything you've got. And he's like, no, seriously, how much for the repairs? And he's like, all of it. And he said, I wonder what your local law enforcement would say about this. And the guy flips open his wallet, and he has a sheriff's badge inside. Well,
that's about the area I was in.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't drive your car off the road then, because that liquor store guy would have been the mechanic and the sheriff.
Yeah. It's a great, beautiful place. Southern Georgia, you know, Southern Alabama. I think it gets slept on a little bit, but it is someplace that's going to be a little interesting.
How long have you been doing this? Because you and your wife go out and unplug for Christmas. This is at least the second year you've done this, right?
We've actually done this 4 times now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we've been going to this campgrounds for 10 years. It's one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for last four years, Stacy and my dog and I we just pack a car up with some food, some bourbon, and some board games. And we just go hang out, you know. I think for the 3 days we were there, we'd only see maybe two or three people on the hiking trails.
Mm.
Your cell phone kind of works like it's on a delay. Like, you know, I could text you, but I just text you and then look at my phone in the morning and I might have a response.
So yeah.
It's a good time. You know, we don't deal with the Christmas gifts. We just hang out. They'll probably put on a couple pounds.
That's awesome. Yeah, but then you're hiking and everything. You're being active, so... It all balances out. I mean,
the hiking trails aren't very long on this one, but it's a pretty, it's pretty fun. We also found this place. Well, it's actually the second time we went. It's called the Little Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Southern Georgia is just flat farmland, but you know, however long ago, somebody built a levee somewhere, and it totally screwed up the landscape there, and it made this giant canyons. And you know, you could trick somebody into thinking they're in like a desert canyon and they're actually in Southern Georgia.
This trip is sounding more and more like National Lampoon's Vacation, because they were like, he crashed his car in the desert. So that's nice though. It's just become like your Christmas tradition then, that you just go and unplug and spend time together and drink good whiskey and spend time outdoors. That's like, it sounds like an awesome tradition. That's kind of like outside the norm of what Christmas has become.
It might be a little closer to what it should be, but who knows? I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of fun had with the gifts and all that stuff.
But. Yeah, for sure. For me personally, this was probably, I want to say probably the best Christmas I've had, just because my daughter's at such a fun age for it right now, where she's like learned all the words to the Christmas carols, and she's been really into making gifts. Like, she's really handy with the arts and crafts and stuff. So she's been making little gifts for everybody, and she's learned how to wrap gifts and stuff, and she really loves like giving stuff to people. I've gotten like 6 Christmas gifts from her since Christmas. Of like, just
whip a little something up for you.
Yeah. Oh, Daddy, I meant to give you this on Christmas. Meanwhile, I saw her working on it all morning. But
yeah, that's fun. You know, she's always been a person, but she's more of a becoming more formed, and you could,
she's like a little lady now. She actually got her ears pierced yesterday, which was a big step, and that was her choice, and she wanted to go to the store and get it done. So my wife took her while I was at the gym last night, and they went and did that. So now it's like, last Christmas I had this little kid in my house, and now I have like this young adult walking around like giving people Christmas gifts with her ears pierced, and it's been like night and day from last year.
Yeah, I have a feeling the next year for Christmas, her Christmas requests will be much different than this year.
Oh yeah, this year there was nothing she even really wanted. She was just like, every time we went to see Santa Claus, all she would ask for are these like surprise eggs, which is basically like you open a present to open a present. It's like a plastic egg, and then it's got like little tiny surprises in it, like a little doll or a little dog with like little tiny accessories in it, and that's all she wanted. So and she was like so thrilled on Christmas morning to get a bunch of this stuff. I don't see the appeal of it, but it's like, you know, I'm sure I was into some obscure things when I was 5, so that my parents didn't understand. But, you know, that's part of the fun of being Santa Claus, you know?
Yeah, I think I have memories of about around 5 of being pissed and laying under the Christmas tree crying because I didn't get Michael or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles action figure. So
yeah, I definitely went through that phase too.
Yeah, it was like the one that you could open his back and store like his little, what are those little things they fight with the spike with the two other spikes?
Oh, the size.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was big into Ninja Turtles. I remember getting the I was big into Ghostbusters too. That was a big one for me, which the Ghostbusters movie came out, I think, the year I was born. And then I grew up with the cartoon. So of course the movie with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson. But then I knew the cartoon first, and I love the cartoons. So of course you got to have all the action figures from that. So those were my Christmases as a kid. Pretty much. But
I should finish that story, and not like I was like mistreated. That was like what I asked for, apparently, but my grandmother bought it for me, and we didn't do that till later. So Christmas morning, I was all pissed and cried. I just had to wait until later that evening.
And your parents knew, and they just didn't.
Yeah, they knew the whole time. It was a total nightmare. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I think that even might have been the year we got like a new puppy. We got like a brand new puppy that ran. Everyone's like, "Oh yay!" And I'm like, "Where's my fucking Ninja Turtle?"
Yeah, this puppy doesn't have any weapons.
Yeah,
what a Hallmark moment! The puppy comes running in slow motion.
Yeah, I do remember that, and I do remember that being pleasant. But I definitely remember laying upside down, staring at the tree, just being heartbroken because I didn't get whatever the orange one was. What's the orange one?
Ah, it's Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, yeah.
But he had the nunchucks, not the scythe.
Yeah. I haven't paid attention to the turtles in a while.
Oh, man.
Instead, I'm listening to stuff about dudes in a boat eating penguin.
Yeah. Well, they're all frozen in together. I did get into some whiskey this past week as well. So I think for the first time ever, my wife like gave me whiskey for Christmas. Usually she always goes through all this like, well, what do you want? And I'm like, just go look at the bar, see what's running low. And, you know, I'm sure I would love that. She actually went on her own to the liquor store and picked out a few bottles, and she did an awesome job. So this was the best one she got. As you can see, I did some damage on it. This is Heaven's Door. So this is Bob Dylan's whiskey. You know, knocking on Heaven's Door. Here I am, knocking on Heaven's Door. And I had always heard about this bourbon, and I've heard it was good, but I've never been into like celebrity brand stuff. And I saw Bob Dylan in concert maybe, I want to say like 9 years ago now. It was because my dad got tickets. My dad always buys tickets to like random concerts. And I was never a big fan of Bob Dylan's music as performed by Bob Dylan, you know? I more liked the covers from like Jimi Hendrix and, you know, other people that would cover his music. I never really got into Bob Dylan. But that concert was one of the best concerts I had ever seen. It was like, and I had heard mixed things about him in concert. He's like kind of a weird dude. So sometimes he doesn't like people singing along to his music. So he'll just like change the tempo if people start singing along to it. It's weird. He's an odd guy.
He doesn't like a good vibe at his concert, I guess.
Yeah. He doesn't like
people having fun.
Yeah.
Enjoying the show.
Yeah. None of that.
None of that.
I've heard all that, and I'm thinking like, oh man, this show's gonna suck. I'm gonna have to listen to like whatever Along the Watchtower, like the most boring version I've ever heard. But it was one of those shows where there was like almost like a haunting vibe in the air, and he just crushed it. He put on such an amazing performance. Like every song hit, and nobody was really like singing along or anything, but everybody was into it the whole time. And he just like hit a crescendo in the beginning and kept it riding out through the whole show. And like I said, I'm not even like a huge fan of his music, but the show was just so incredible. So I never really sought out the whiskey because I have my kind of experience with Bob Dylan, and it was awesome. I don't really listen to his music anymore. I just kind of had that moment, that experience with Bob Dylan. So, and I don't usually like the celebrity whiskey. So I thought like, I don't want anything to ruin, you know, this kind of moment, this relationship I have with Bob Dylan by trying his whiskey. And then it sucks like all the other celebrity brands, but this stuff is excellent. It's got that reddish color that always kind of hints to me that'll be something I like. It's got a little baking spice to it. A lot of vanilla, like dark cherry stuff. I would compare it to like the Redwood Empire Pipe Dream or the Clyde Mays 5-year. Pretty similar to Eagle Rare too.
So is there only one bottle? I swear they have like a bunch of different stuff.
Oh yeah, they do all kinds of stuff.
And he like did this, or he's just the sponsor, like the sponsor.
I think he was pretty hands on with it. And if you look at the bottle, it's got like, you know, all this artwork on it that seemed like a lot of steampunk looking kind of stuff. So this is the straight bourbon from Heaven's Door. I have to do a little more research into it, but I think he was pretty hands-on with selecting this, and he seems like a guy that's very particular about the stuff he puts his name on. But oh yeah, they do all kinds of like cast strength, and I think they have like all different kinds of things. I've always heard good things about it, but I never really sought it out because I didn't want to ruin that Bob Dylan experience that I've had with, you know, trying his whiskey and hating it. But my wife picked out this bottle and I tried it and I was like, wow, this is right up my alley. I kind of wish I tried it sooner.
Yeah. You know, I heard Brendan Schaub has a nice whiskey too.
You should try it. Oh, God. No. I mean, look, if it was like a $40 or $50 bottle, I would get one and try it for the show. But it's a blend of bourbon and Japanese whiskey, which just sounds disgusting to me. And it's like $80. So is it worth
it? I wish I could find it at a bar or something. But I have a bar to actually find it.
Well, I can tell you several liquor stores that carry it around here.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy a bottle of it. I just like to like buy a drink. You know.
I've thought about it.
I'm just gonna keep pestering you. Like you buy it, and the next time I come over, I'm gonna try it.
All right, maybe I always
find it on the clearance section soon.
Every time I see it, I'm like, is it worth the joke? Like, can I come up with a joke about it that's good enough that would be worth spending $80 to like create content with? And like, nothing comes to mind because
part of me wants to buy one because I just want it to be good enough that you have to sit there and be like, you know what, this isn't that bad.
That would be the ultimate punchline for you, wouldn't it? If I got it and it was really good.
You're like, it's not that. I come over and it's like almost gone. I'm like, what's going on here?
There's no chance of that.
Yeah, you even if it was good, you'd have put a block.
Yeah, I think that would be the case. And I've experienced that before where something was probably like not bad, but I just had in my mind that it wasn't going to be good and I just ruled it out. Or I've built something up so much. Which brings me to the second bottle I want to talk about. This was another one my wife picked out. This was a bottle I never thought about seeking out. It's called Chicken Cock.
Wow. That's a top shelf. That's a behind the counter.
Is it? I have no idea. So, this one... I've heard mixed things about this as well. And I have to say, first sip. And by the way, she admitted that she strictly bought this because of the name.
Well, like, whenever I see a thing like that, I assume that's what they're going for.
Well, I don't know, man. Supposedly, this is like one of the oldest bourbon brands in the United States. It was established in 1856. So
maybe
like
language was different back then.
Yeah, like who knows what this even means? You know, like I don't know.
So how's it taste?
So first taste, it was not my thing, and it's got this like kind of pale brown color to it, which is usually a signal to me of something I'm not really going to enjoy. It did grow on me though. And I made an old fashioned with it and that was delicious. But from what I understand the price tag is, I don't know if I would get another bottle of this. And then I tried it neat again and I enjoyed it a little bit more, but I don't know, man. If I had to go into a liquor store and ask for it by name, I definitely wouldn't buy another
bottle.
It'll
be interesting to see when it sits at the bar if people, like when you go, hey, we want a drink, and people just gravitate to that.
Yeah.
Because of the name.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I lined up five whiskeys and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll try that Chicken Cock for sure.
It would be a cool if it was like your favorite and you could just, what's your favorite? Chicken Cock.
Yeah.
It was like your legit favorite. So what's the last one? Or is that it?
Oh, yeah. I have one more. So my wife is part of all these like mom Facebook groups in the area, which she has been like since our daughter was born. So we made friends with a bunch of parents who have kids the same age as our daughter. And it's always like the moms that are organizing, you know, when we hang out and do parties and stuff. And then they're always having like all these girls' nights. So it's been almost 6 years now that I've known all these dads in the group. So I was like, well, it's about time we had like a dad's night. So my idea was, we'll do it for Christmas. Everybody brings a bottle of bourbon, and I put, you know, $30 to $40 limit on it. Try to bring something outside the box. And then we would crack them all, try them all, and then we would do like a white elephant style to see which bottle you go home with. And you couldn't go home with the bottle you brought. So I had like the campfire going outside, and I had the chairs set up around the campfire, and I had my daughter label the chairs with numbers. So when everybody sat down, whatever chair they were in, the number was the order they got to pick their bottle. So kind of these like guys,
that's
huh?
That's what Oprah used to do, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. He used to put the shit underneath the chair and you'd be like, look under your seat.
Well, we put all the bottles on the table. So everybody saw what there was. There was, I think, six of us. So we tried six different bourbons, and not everyone was a bourbon drinker. So some of them by like the third bottle were a little wobbly. So I was actually really impressed with the bottles these guys brought. And like some of them went into the liquor store and was like, look, I need something outside the box under 40 bucks. And whatever, they brought some good stuff. They brought, one guy brought a Chattanooga Cask Strength, which was really good. Another guy wound up bringing the Russell Reserve 10 year that I really like. Somebody brought Whistle Pig, but the one I wound up choosing was one that I had never had before, and it's from this brand, Still Austin, which I had seen on the shelf and I had been curious about. And I tried it, and this is really good stuff. So obviously comes from Texas. It's the Still Austin Whiskey Company, but they come from Manor, Texas. So it's not in Austin. This stuff's really good. It's got like a little bit more of a spice than you would expect from a bourbon. Like not a whole lot of sweetness, but it's got enough sweetness to balance out the spice. It's a really well-rounded bourbon. I really liked it a lot. As you can see, I've been drinking quite a bit over this holiday. Obviously, we've been...
I was going to say, there's got some room in those bottles.
Yeah, a lot of air in them.
But it's like, yeah, it was a party, right? Everybody's just hit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So that one was, you know, we were pouring out a bunch that night. It's like when you open a bag of chips and it's like all air. Imagine if that was whiskey.
Yeah. Did you say what you brought? Which bottle did you bring?
Oh, so I brought a Milliman Green triple cask, which was a whiskey I was talking about on the podcast a few weeks ago. I think you may have tried it when you came over, right?
Maybe. Whatever one I tried, I remember liking it.
Yeah.
Start writing it, taking pictures or something.
I think the last pay-per-view you came over for, you asked to try it, and I ran upstairs and got it. But, yeah, I actually cheated at the game because, well, I didn't really cheat. I followed the rules that I made up, but it was a $40 limit.
Cheating. You have a podcast about bourbon that you cheated.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the other guys enjoy bourbon as well. Everybody had an awesome time. It was like, when all the moms plan stuff to do, it takes them weeks and weeks and weeks. I sent out one group text. I'm like, Thursday, 7 o'clock, bring a bottle of bourbon. And everybody either sent like an emoji or like, I'll be there. And that was it. And
well, yeah, that's the way it works with husbands, I think.
Yeah, it was so easy. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the bottle I picked typically like a $50, $55 bottle, but it happened to me on sale at Lukens for $39.
So within the rules.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one that, the one you got me try was the one that you took to Bare Knuckle.
Yes, that's it. Same one. Yeah, it was a big hit. It was actually like when we went through the who got to pick the bottles, it was the first one to get chosen.
Well, like I said, cheater.
Yeah.
Should have done tequila or vodka. Or...
Nah, vodka. I wouldn't have chosen any of them. tequila. So I do enjoy tequila, but like in the summer.
Yeah, I like tequila and rum. I like some gin. Gin. I have like an old wives' tale. If I'm sick, you drink some gin and go to bed. I don't know how it works, but it doesn't taste that good, but it doesn't make you go to sleep.
Oh, gin tastes horrible. It tastes like perfume.
Yeah, but you're trying to. If I get out the gin, I'm sick, so it's worth it.
If I get out the gin, I'm going to be sick.
So how long do we have to fights? Do we have fights coming up, or what's going on with this?
I don't fucking know. But last thing on the booze, which I'm sure people are already tuning out, because all we've done is talk about whiskey and Christmas. But I have and the raw penguin meat. I have like a calendar that I kind of go by subtly, and it's the seasons of alcohol. So summertime is like bourbon and tequila. Fall is mostly bourbon. As we get into winter, it's like bourbon and rye. If it's really cold in the winter, I like scotch. I like a real smoky scotch. And then as we get to springtime, it's back to bourbon. And then as we get to summer, so on and so forth. I also like rum in the fall. Rum is like a good fall drink. I usually make like a spiced rum around Thanksgiving.
January 13th is the next UFC event.
Oh, what the fuck? It's still like two more weeks.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
All these bottles are going to be empty by then.
It looks like we get Ankalaev, Whitaker 2, and then the next week is Strickland, Duplessis. And then it looks like they have two more weeks off.
Oh, man.
I don't know. The 20th, January 20th to February 3rd. Is that 2 weeks?
Is this like, we got to look up if this is like the least amount of events in recent memory. Because it used to be, there's 52 weeks a year. They were doing 50 events for a while.
Well, which they did 52 last year, or 50 last year.
Did they?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it. Well, I don't know if you had any fight announcements you wanted to talk about, but I just saw this article that the UFC announced that the new drug testing company is going to be effective December 31st, and they are going with Drug-Free Sports International, DFSI. Supposedly, all the samples are going to be tested at a laboratory in Salt Lake City. Which currently does a lot of testing for WADA. So they follow all those protocols and stuff. And the list of banned substances isn't really going to change much. So it's not going to be much different from having USADA other than having a harder acronym to pronounce. I don't think it's really going to change anything.
This is the group that does the NCAA, NFL, MLB, NBA, LPGA, NASCAR. So they
all those organizations that like clearly allow steroids.
Yep.
Like if UFC fighters start looking like NFL players, we're gonna have a whole different sport.
They also do the CrossFit games.
Oh, all right. Why are the CrossFit games drug tested? Like, who gives a shit if they're on steroids?
They should be. makes it better.
Yeah. If you're going to do 3,000 burpees, you might as well be on a little, you know, testosterone or something.
Yeah. So they're just getting, yeah, you're probably right.
4,900 muscle ups.
Which, by the way, I'm okay with, you know, an agency that might just go, yeah.
For MMA?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, especially with the stuff, the recovery stuff. They need to quit that shit. Like, they need to change. Like there's a difference between steroids and recovery stuff.
I mean, so you mean like allowing IVs?
IV should be, in my opinion, should be no question. You know, they use it. What are they scared of? Somebody like using it to cover.
Yeah, well, that's how you beat the drug test. Is you can flush your system with an IV before you get tested.
Okay, so take the sample before you get the IV.
Yeah. I mean,
and furthermore, have the UFC can afford it, provide some, you know, IV, or just quit weight cutting.
Yeah, because the UFC administers the IV.
Yeah,
that would be a way around it, so that they make sure.
You weigh in, you go back to the back, you get your sample taken, and you get your IV.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty sure guys are still using IVs. Like, there's... They've got to be.
It'd be easy to hide, right?
Like a guy like Alex Padilla, who's cutting like 40 pounds. I mean, not anymore now. He's a light heavyweight. But when he was at middleweight, he's cutting like 40 pounds. Like he had to be using IVs. Like there's no way.
Yeah. That just seems silly. That's the one thing when I talk to the casuals and tell them about they can't do that. They're like, well, why not? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know much about the. I've never used steroids. I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
So. I haven't used any today. I mean,
when I ever used this, I called Plaquenil. That was because I had a infection or something.
I've taken steroids when I had like a bee sting.
Yeah, you got stung. Didn't you get stung in the ear or something?
Oh yeah, by a wasp. That was awful. I wouldn't recommend it. Apparently, I'm allergic. So, yeah. I had
some cool fights that we haven't talked about.
Like announcements?
Yeah, like Ortega Rodriguez fight night February 24th.
I like that because the first fight had kind of a weird ending where, you know, Ortega's shoulder popped out. And, you know, there was kind of a debate about it. Like, well... Did the fight end because he got injured? Yes, but was the injury caused by the submission attempt of Rodriguez? Yes. So I like that one.
Yeah, that one's fun. It's in Mexico City, too, so we got elevation to deal with.
Hmm. Ortega is Mexican, too, right?
Yeah, he's Mexican, but he doesn't live in Mexico City.
Yeah, I mean, Yair is like... Mexican from Mexico.
Yeah, I think Yair does his camps at like some Inca or Aztec. I don't know which one it is. But.
Well, the Incans were South American.
Okay, so it was Aztec.
Mm.
Vicente Luque isn't going to get another shot against Ian Garry. It's against Geoff Neal.
Wait. So Luque is not going to get a shot against Ian Garry?
No, they rescheduled it against Neal. UFC 298, February 17th.
Yeah. Ian Garry, I think, really lucked out, like, because of Colby Covington being such an asshole at the press conferences and the fight being boring with Leon. Everybody just kind of forgot about his shit that he had going on.
This shit. He's a young kid. Who cares? His wife and his, that's their business. I just care if the guy can fight.
Yeah.
And it seems like he can.
And they're putting him in there with Geoff Neal, who's not going to bring any of that up.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, Ian Garry went, I think the first time they were supposed to fight, Ian Garry posted like an old mugshot of Geoff Neal getting arrested for DUI.
I think that wasn't old. That was like less than a year away, like since it happened.
Oh, okay.
And he sold t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. He sold t-shirts. But even still, like, Jeff Neal's such a classy guy. He's not going to go into the shit with Ian Gary's wife or anything.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty safe there.
The other thing is they, you know, the first 300, UFC 300 fights. I want to, are any of these on the main card, do you think?
Let me hear.
It's Jiří Prochazka versus Rakic.
That's a great fight.
It's a great fight, but I bet it's a prelim fight.
I don't know. That could be like the first fight on the main card.
Then it's Aljamain versus Cater.
That's a fun fight too. But yeah, I don't know.
Putting him on the prelim.
Yeah.
And I know. The last one is, this is the one that I think that might be on the main card, and it's Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Which is, I think the UFC's doing the, you know, going to use Bo Nickel the way they did Sean O'Malley, and they're just not, they're giving him another layup.
Yeah, Bo Nickel will be on the main card, I anticipate. Did Bo Nickel make his UFC debut in 2023? Because I was thinking about this for like a Rookie of the Year award, and I know we're kind of planning to do our award show.
We're going to do that next Saturday, next Thursday, right?
Sure.
I think it's Bo Nickel.
Because there's no picks to make next week, so we might as well do the award show next week.
Yeah. His debut, is that the Contender Series or actual UFC?
Let's say actual UFC.
Yes, March.
All right.
He's got two wins. Just over 3 minutes, 20 seconds between the two.
Interesting.
The night. One knockout or TKO and one submission.
Nice. One nut shot against Jamie Pickett.
And he's fought, he's, you know, his first fight was with Jorge, and that was June of 2022. And
he,
you know, so he's five fights in, you know, 2 years.
And he's not fighting again until UFC 300? That's kind of surprising. I would have thought.
If you get the call, you're an up-and-comer, and they want you to fight on 300. You're like, yes, sir.
Sure.
I guess you could say I'll get one in between. But.
And the other confirmed fighter is Jim Miller will be on it, right? They said that. Somebody was saying Jim Miller and Clay Guida.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's 155, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put Tony in there.
Jim Miller and Tony?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Depends how long Tony's medical suspension was. Not going to be as long as Bryce Mitchell's.
It probably is.
No. No way. Bryce Mitchell probably got a 6-month suspension.
Yeah, I saw he's out there, like, doing push-ups for Jesus.
It's a lie from Satan, brother.
I want that sound clip on like every episode.
I kept it. I don't have any sound clips on my entire board except that one.
Yeah, keep that one on there. Make that one the number.
Okay, Ferguson got 60 days.
Make that one the number one.
No, that's not right.
How many days did Bryce Mitchell get?
I don't know. That's not right. I don't know. I'm not going to find it. This is all from 2022.
Push-ups for Jesus.
Yeah, that's, I love it. That was so scary. Such a scary knockout.
Oh, it was horrifying. That was one of the worst knockouts I've ever seen from a punch. Yeah. I've seen like knockouts that weren't so bad from like head kicks and flying knees.
Yeah, I saw one that was close. It was from a Contender Series. It popped up on my Instagram. It was, I think, I just had the name of it. Uriah Hall. Did he have like a spinning back kick that was a pretty nasty knockout?
Oh, yeah. That was on the The Ultimate Fighter, though, not the Contender Series.
Okay. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. Uriah Hall was supposed to be like the new like boogeyman of the middleweight division.
You think you have a violent knockout like that and you're like, I don't want to say a wimp, but a wimp's not the right word, but that could like affect your You know what I'm saying? Like, if you hurt somebody that bad, would that make you a little nervous to pull the trigger on stuff like that?
It depends on the person. I've kind of had that experience. Like, for me personally, I've hurt some people really bad, and it made me feel really bad. Like, I don't like hurting people, which is weird because I've been doing this sport for like 13 years now. But I don't enjoy that feeling. Like, you know, when you catch somebody in a submission and you hear them like gurgling and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
this is where I was going. Like, when I was a white belt, I was all about it. You didn't give a shit. But now you're like, man, like, especially with neck cranks and stuff, it's like, you know, you're locked in, and that guy just doesn't want to tap, and you're like, man, I'm just going to, I don't want to fuck your neck up for the next.
Yeah. I'm probably at the point now where I've let go more submissions than I've finished.
Yeah.
Like, willingly let go, because, you know, people don't want to tap or whatever. And, it's weird explaining to people that, like, I do this shit for fun, and I teach other people how to do this shit, and I don't like actually hurting people. But for someone who is at the professional level, I don't know. I don't know if it really affects them in the same way. Maybe some of them. But
yeah, or maybe, you know, like that seemed to be turning out all right. You know, I guess if he would have had long term, like, ended his career, then I'm sure that'd be a little different than.
Mm-hmm. We'll yeah, anyway, for sure.
He doesn't. It was such an awesome knockout. The guy deserves all the credit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Bryce said that he didn't even remember until he was in the back.
Yeah,
he was like, talking shit and all this stuff.
Yeah, he got up and he was talking to Josh's corner and then everybody, and then he's like, "I don't remember any of that. It's a lie from Satan, brother."
Yeah,
it's a lie from Satan, brother.
All right. Was there anything else you wanted to get off your chest here?
Nope.
All right. So we went into this episode with no content. We talked a bunch of whiskey. We talked about Christmas. We talked about eating raw penguin meat and like 5 minutes of fights, and we still managed to almost do an hour. If you want to grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, it's reaper1.co is the website. Use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on your entire order. You can get an over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. I happen to be wearing the t-shirt now. For those of you watching on YouTube, probably already noticed. That's it. I don't think there'll be another episode this year. So I hope everybody has a happy new year. Have fun. Be safe. Drink some good whiskey. Take some pictures of it. Tag me on social media. Let me know what you're thinking and drinking out there, and I guess that's it. Yeah, hope everybody had an awesome 2023, and let's wrap this thing up. Until next time, cheers everybody, goodbye.